through. It's a pretty emotional subject for me. And so I consume a lot of content, books, podcasts, and it's just, I probably spend 10 to 20 hours a week studying, praying, listening. That's just my routine. And I just want to, and I'm married to this gal, so I know I'm biased. Guys, what Jen spoke about, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago? It's probably the best description and delivery of what the Father can do to heal a broken heart that I've ever heard in my life. And I just want to challenge you. My dad, we were talking yesterday, in fact, he saved the URL to the podcast. Send it to people that are hurting. Send it to your friends. They need to hear it. I'm going to do my best. She asked me to do this, which I've never done before, spoken about this subject, but I'm going to do my best to summarize it. I'm not going to do it justice, but I promise you, I've been messed up all weekend because I've just been listening to it on repeat, and that 34 minutes of her being the most vulnerable I think anyone could be, and walking through what the Lord can do inside of you, I know it sounds over the top, but it's that good. You need to listen to it. You need to share it with your friends. The thing that was inside of her that, for the most part, since she was about 5 years old, took to blossom into what God created, it's worth a listen, okay? So let me just summarize just a tad bit. So if you didn't listen to it yet, and I hope you will. So she told this story, about a princess that grew up in a castle, and that princess's castle, the king and queen, there was a lot of yelling, there was a lot of anger. I'll just be more practical, right? Just a little bit, because she didn't say this. I just know, you know, the story. The police knew the address, right? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, where it's loud enough that the castle walls can't contain the chaos. But the king and queen, they loved her. That's just where they started, right? That's what they grew up in. That's what they knew. They're good people. But when you have an argument or when you are trying to get your point across, your voice goes up. And sometimes you slam something. And sometimes you say things that you'll regret, right? Just anger, just wounds, just pain. So she grew up in that world, and she said something, and I hope you guys caught that, that when the castle walls were filled with chaos, she tried to escape, and she just cried and cried and cried, hoping, begging, trading. Do you guys do that? Oh, God, if you would just do this, I'll do this. Completely doing everything her mind could come up with just to end the chaos. We have another, like, opposite word for chaos, right? We call it peace. That's what she was looking for. So she grew up that way, and then ogres entered this princess's life. And this is hard for me. So, you know, I grew up, let me pivot just for a quick second. I grew up around my dad, who's been helping people find freedom for years and years and years and years, right? And so I've grown up around, in a sense, lots of people that had lots of problems and needed help. And, you know, and not that that's a bad thing, but when this princess had the ogres enter into her life, you know, comparing's not good, but we just do it as humans, right? We just look at things like that. So when those ogres came into Jen's life, like, guys, I can just tell you from my experience being around next to this mental health world and meeting a lot of people that have gone through a lot of horrendous things, the abuse that she went through is maybe the most horrendous, horrible thing I have ever heard in my life. And it wasn't just like one time. And it wasn't just like one guy at one time. It was horrible. And here's the crazy part. When you help, and I don't even like using this word, but in English, I guess that's just all we got. When victims are getting abused, one of the most prevalent tricks they use is they do something really interesting. They say, they tell the victim, hey, if you ask for help, will kill the people you love. And to a child with parents, even if parents are in this chaos thing that kicks up everyone, she loves her parents. So you don't speak up. You toe the line. You take the abuse. Because you don't want to be responsible for killing the only love that you know in this world. Like, it's rough. So, my wife is so, so strong. And she did something really, really brave. And I even believe this is how God made us. And I think this is how kids survive, is whenever you're getting abused at that level, what you do is you compartmentalize. That's a fancy word for saying we like stuff it in a box, right? So that you can separate that from the rest of your life. And I feel like I'm about to feed back, Alex. Can I be bumped down a little bit in the levels? I don't know. Right? It's just me. Yeah, that's perfect. So when you compartmentalize, and if you're stubborn and really good at it, my wife's stubborn, I promise you. Yeah. You can kind of act like that didn't happen, right? Like that's how it plays out. Because no one wants to live in that mess all the time. And in a way, that's how kids can survive, honestly. I really think God created it. Because in the moment, they can still function. And what I mean by still function is like eat and breathe and walk and learn. Right? The way God made our minds is amazing. So I didn't know, and in a lot of ways, she didn't know the abuse that she had endured as she became a teenager, and how it affected her. Because God's good, right? Like, she's a Christian. She experienced God's love. She felt his presence. She did all these kinds of things. And so she goes through life and we meet up and I just like the girl. She's hot and she loves the Lord. So we get married and, you know, it's normal. We don't have money, but we got love. And we're just making it through life and we're just doing things and we both love the Lord and we're serving at church together and I'm starting to figure out like the whole work and career thing and she's, you know, and then we start, our kids come and we just really, and even Camille's story, one day we'll tell that, but Camille was a twin and we lost her sister. And we had a quite the journey just becoming parents. And then, you know, after going through that with Camille and the stuff, and I was like, well, man, we've got the checkbox of like, that was hard, right? Like I thought we got that covered and, we went through some stuff and family and I mean, just life, all the while serving God and being grateful. And, Jen talked about one of her favorite verses. I'm going to leave this up here, I think, quite a bit this morning. So it's 2 Corinthians 3:17. This is a pretty famous one. You guys probably know it. Currently, like right now. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Well, that's weird. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Well, Jen might be the first person I've ever been around that read this verse and came to this conclusion in this kind of way. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if she doesn't have freedom, the Spirit of the Lord wasn't there, right? I mean, it says it. The Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. So if you don't have freedom, I mean, it sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? If you don't have freedom, the Spirit of the Lord isn't there. But she believed that with everything inside of her. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, okay. How old are you? You were like, you're 30, 31, 30? Yeah. Two kids at that point, we're rocking and rolling. We somehow can afford a house by some miracle, and it's a beautiful home, and we're, you know, not exactly paycheck to paycheck, but, you know, like kind of on the edge, right? You know, like December, you know, like the month we're in, you're like, okay, presents, that's going to be tough. And, you know, like that's kind of where we were at financially. So we're working hard. We're doing things in the church. Things are looking fairly normal from the outside. We weren't fighting. We weren't really having any like marriage problems. The kids, like we were doing just fine. And I actually don't know what happened. I just know one day she woke up and have you ever seen someone's eyes that have lost hope? Have you been around somebody like where you look at them and there's nothing, right? Like a breeze could just knock them over. And remember, like I grew up with my dad helping tons of people. And kind of for the first time in my life, I recognized something. And I was like, oh no, I know that look. I know when somebody's lost hope. And Jen was crazy vulnerable. I'll use the scary words. Suicide, depression, those are the labels that we use to just try to describe an impossibly hard problem. And I'm going to do my best here in just the few minutes we have here to describe what it was like from my perspective. She asked me to do this. I probably normally wouldn't be talking about this. So when you have somebody in your life that you're crazy in love with, and they don't know that not only do you need them, that the gift they are to this world, right? And I want to do everything in my power to help her. And that's a really hard place to be when someone you're married to or someone in your life or a kid or a grandparent or a parent, right? If you've ever gone through this with somebody, it's really, really hard. And I only know one way through it, so that's what we're going to be talking about. So Jen did something that, in my opinion, is probably the most important thing that she's ever done in her life, is she took a step. And that was the most important step she took. And she took one step that first day and said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So that first time, that first step was just admitting to herself that she needed help, right? She talked a little bit about that. And then we call it seed digging or freedom prayer. You'll kind of hear those used interchangeably. And she just said, gosh, God, I don't have freedom, and I'm going after you. And her story is beautiful, what the Lord did. I should have asked you. I think it was over 2 years, right? I think. Two or three, yeah. It's a long time. And there were birthdays and Christmas and summers and winters, and it's not like the world stopped while Jen fought this battle to get free. There were super hard days. I'll just describe it from my perspective. You know, some weekends, some days, some weeks, I came home from work and I kind of took over. Like, I did the kid thing, I did dinner, I tried to do as much cleaning as I could before I fell asleep, and rinse and repeat for a while. I had to give her space and time, and every day looked a little different. Some days the best way I could love her is mess up the laundry. And some days the best way I could love her is try to help her cook that day. Or some days it was just to take the kids outside for 20 minutes or 30 or an hour or however long we could make it outside, just to give her a room by herself. Some days it was just to sit with her in the same room. And we didn't say a word about it. As she was uncovering and remembering the horrendous abuse that she has gone through, there really are no words for that. Really, the best we could do is just to sit together. And I hate to even say this kind of stuff out loud, but I mean, I just tell you what happened with me is, man, I had thoughts I'm not proud of. Like, I thought, well, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I didn't know. Golly, guys, this isn't sustainable. I can't be married to someone who is considering exiting this world. I can really just say it that way. What am I going to do with the kids? Like, how's this going to work? What if she is institutionalized and she's not part of our family? Like, and as I was having those thoughts, the only thing I knew to do was the exact same thing, oddly enough, that she was going through. is I just went to the Father every single time because that's all I knew to do. So I said, God, I just had this thought. And he would sit with me. And sometimes I'd have to choose to let a lie go. Sometimes I'd have to repent. And sometimes I just have to lead beside him. And me and him just be in the same room. And over and over and over again, every day, every hard day, every hard morning, the Lord met me and met our family and met her. And as she was going through that process, right, just because it was so hard, you know, sometimes there would be months in between, right? Like she would get to a really hard place. And one of the hardest places to get, if you've never done seed digging stuff, spoiler alert, one of the hardest things to do is to forgive yourself, believe it or not. Forgiving people can be pretty tough, even in abusive situations, right? Like, that makes sense. An abuser to look at them and go, yeah, I forgive you. But forgiving yourself might be harder than that. And then so different times when she was going through that, she would just need a minute to breathe. And then, like, I knew she wasn't totally free, and so did she. But it was like, okay, we're taking a few weeks off. We're taking, you know, and I just had to trust the Lord through all of those different points. And then what I found out was, as she was being the bravest person I've ever known, facing quite literally those demons, the funny thing was, maybe funny is not the right word, I guess interesting maybe would work there. The interesting thing is at the same time, God was doing something inside of my life. Different degree, right? Like, I haven't been abused that way. But the Lord, at the same time, would just walk me through the very same thing. Because we're humans, right? It's easy to think about, like, why me? Do I deserve this? Did I mess up? Is this what the Lord had planned? Was this okay? Why did he allow this to happen? Like, was she dishonest when we got married? Like, no, she didn't really know. And then, like, even if she would tell me, would that have changed anything? And, like, just struggling all through this stuff. And the Lord walked me and kept me through it the entire way. And what I learned was, the most important thing through all of those situations were taking a step and just trusting him that he cares so much about us. The Spirit of the Lord is right there with freedom. And man, does he show up. Like, he absolutely does. I have lots of questions. I have lots of, like, why did that happen? And, you know, God, why did you allow that to happen? And why, you know, I've had all these thoughts of how could any human abuse another person at that level? And, like, you know, like, I've had all this stuff. And, and I don't know a lot of those answers. But one thing that I have learned is that the darkest place, when the light shows up, it shows up. Like, all the time. And he can replace the darkest of darks, the hardest of hards, the most impossible situation. And he can love you right there and sit with you in the hurt, in the pain, and speak to you and put your arms around you and help uncover those lies. Because that's the crazy part. Logically, it doesn't make sense, right? There's no way that that little princess should have thought, this was my fault, or I deserve this, or I'm dirty, or this was normal, or that somehow she was responsible for keeping her parents alive by enduring that abuse, right? Like, we know that. We know that. But she didn't. And it was even more logical, it was feelings, right? Like, only the Lord can do that. Drugs and therapy and coping mechanisms and, like, all that stuff, man, it's not bad. That's the best that humans have to offer to help another human. And sometimes some of that stuff buys you a little time. But if you've ever struggled with any kind of mental health stuff, that's no way to stay or live, right? To be numb, to be scared, hoping that little monster doesn't come out of the closet when you don't want it to. So the Lord sat with her, helped her uncover the lie, and then she chose, with God and her community and help and friends and me and the kids, to go through that really hard process of forgiveness, because unforgiveness is death. And she forgave some men that did horrible things, and then she forgave herself. And she did it over and over again, like 3 years worth-ish. That's a long time to go to the same memories. But every time she took a step, that first step again, you know what I mean? Like, she had to decide again. Okay, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, 3 months in, 12 months in, 2 years in. She had to take another step. She kept getting free, because that's where the Spirit of the Lord is. And so the memory's still tough, right? Like, it's not like that's not a fun thing to think about. But the symptoms, like the things that, you notice, like being angry or sad, or those thoughts of not wanting to be here anymore, and am I important? Am I stupid? And, all that stuff that, comes out of, like, the mental health stuff, guess what started getting better? Like, almost to the point where we actually are, I have a hard time remembering what that time period was like. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So what's freedom? I don't think freedom's kind of how we represent it in America, right? Getting to do what you want, and man, that's not freedom. Freedom is being able to have quiet and peace in your own mind. Freedom is actually even being able to be friends with any male. Freedom is being able to go grocery shopping without being scared. Freedom is being able to raise a daughter and tell her the world is full of possibilities. Freedom is being able to tell your hurting friends you know an answer. That really works. That's what freedom is. It's incredible. It really is. So I know I'm retelling her story in a lot of ways, but let me tell you just quickly what God was doing in my heart. As I had thoughts, this is just what I did, guys, and it was daily. It really was. As I had thoughts that I knew didn't line up with the Lord, I just went to Him. However small, however big, whatever it was, and in a real sense, she was going through seed digging, and so was I. Because no matter what I did, I needed the Lord. And this is what I learned going through this. All of a sudden, you know, like my mom, she's a prayer warrior. She's been praying my whole life. She prays, I think, almost every waking moment of her day. She's done that since she became a Christian, I think, when she was a teenager. But as I connected with the Lord, you know what I started doing? Man, I started praying for my wife. And at first, it was just a few minutes. And then it was hours. And in every commute to work, every commute home, every time I was around her, every time that she was going to go see Pops, right? As she was going to go see Grandpa, because my dad was doing the sessions with her. Like, I just prayed my heart out. And I didn't even know what to pray. God, I know you're there. Do your thing. Touch her. Encourage her. Help me be the right husband I need to be today. So, I don't know how to equate what she went through to my prayers. Like, there's no way to judge that, but they were for her and for me. And the Lord spoke every single time, whatever it was. And when I started believing a lie, I took it to Him, and we walked through it, whatever that lie was. Are our kids going to be okay? He cares about that. Am I going to be okay? Is she going to be okay? Whatever the day brought, however she was feeling, whatever the struggle was, like, God spoke to me, and then every time, in a sense, I wasn't doing seed digging just with the Lord and me, I was just praying for her. So, spouses, it's not a bad idea. Pray for your spouse. I mean, really do. Y'all that have like adult children that are, you know, have some struggles with mental health, it's the Lord's voice they need. And your prayers influence the things of this world that we can't see, right? We don't talk a lot about that, but it matters. Because the enemy, I don't even like saying that, but the enemy, man, he's not good at much, but he's really good at introducing those lies that we attach ourselves to and start believing as truths. And man, we start believing lies as truths, and it'll mess you up. And you need the Lord to help you with that. I did. So, I know this was heavy, and I'm sorry, but I also want to encourage y'all. Like, not only is it doable, it's the only thing that matters to connect with the Father. Man, He healed every piece of her broken heart. I mean, that's a miracle. He somehow healed me in real time as I was experiencing things that weren't true. That's a pretty big miracle. Our kids were raised by two parents who were going through hard things. And they experienced his love and peace too. That's a miracle. Like, it's amazing, guys. So I want to challenge you a bit. So you might be in a place to where today you need to take that step, like that first step, like Jen did so bravely all those years ago. You might be in the spot I was at where you just need to start praying and loving your spouse and hearing the Lord real time for that day. You might be in a spot to where you have a friend that has had their own version of a really hard thing, right? To where their mind's not at peace. Talk to them. Shoot them over a podcast. Let them know there's some hope. So I just want to pray, and then we're going to have some teams, I think, pray. But yeah, come on, Peter. I know this was a little bit different today. But one thing you'll just never talk me out of is the Lord is there with freedom for everyone. The darkest of dark places, his love for you is uncontainable. Let's stand up, if you would. I just want to pray. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. God, I'm so grateful for the freedom we find right next to you. Lord, you're incredible. How through the darkest things that we could even imagine, you're there. And you love us so much that you're not going to allow us to believe lies, to have unforgiveness, to have any spot in our heart that keeps you away. God, I'm so thankful for your kindness, for your love, for your freedom, for your infinite wisdom. And using everything this world has to point right back to you, God. God, I just pray for the hearts today, Lord. Man, the ones that are hurting, God, the ones that need some freedom. God, for the parents, for the spouses that have people in their lives that are hurting. God, for my friends that haven't quite yet discovered what you have to offer, Lord. For my family members, God. God, I just pray that you would just penetrate our hearts, every single place that we need to start experiencing your freedom, Lord. You know, I kind of have this picture like a bowl full of M&Ms, And you know how M&Ms, they all have different colors. And there's an M&M in the bowl that's just so dark, so out of place. And that little guy feels like he's in the wrong bowl. He's not supposed to be here. I just want you to know that if I said that, if that struck something inside of you, you're supposed to be here. And here's the crazy part. Not only are you supposed to be here, but once the Lord meets you there, you'll start believing it too. You're really supposed to be here. And God has some cool things for you. So we have a couple of teams up here. Man, we would love to be part of your journey this morning if you need to take a first step. Come on up front, getting prayed for. That'd be a good first step, just to admit, to say, hey, I'm taking a step. And then on our website, gfcabot.com, there's a seed digging tab. There's a little form you fill out. That's how you get started. It's just really simple. We'll get in contact with you. We'll work out a time. And it's the best way I know, guys, to experience freedom is to sit down with somebody and let them help you meet the Lord in your hurt. It's pretty incredible. It's hard. It takes effort. You got to take the step. But at the end of the day, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So, man, thank you guys. Thank you for letting me share this morning. You guys have a great Sunday.
Don't forget to pick up your children. God bless you guys. See you Wednesday night.